thank you for joining us this morning. This morning we're going to look at a text in which Jesus questions his disciples about his identity. And to me, this is one of the most important questions that we have in the New Testament. Because it's a question that all humanity must deal with. But it is also one that is revealed by God Himself. It is revealed through the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this Word and this person, Jesus Christ, is revealed to us, even today. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for today comes soon after Jesus had again been questioned by the Pharisees. And they were testing him, trying to find some miracle, some sign that would tell them that he indeed had authority or was the Christ. And after the Pharisees had left, he went on to explain that the disciples should be very wary of following the Pharisees. And this is really where our text for this morning picks up. And Jesus came into the district of Caesarea and Philippi, and he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus asked a question of his disciples that is still asked even today. And the answers that we hear from his disciples and today are surprisingly similar. Some say that he was John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, a great teacher, a man who called people unto repentance and commanded a great crowd to come and to listen to him preach and be baptized by him. Many times in the New Testament, we see Jesus speaking to the multitude. And we know that he fed the 5,000. He fed the 3,000. And so he does have great crowds around him. And then we come to the other thing The next thing that people said during Jesus' time that he's Jeremiah, come back, which would make him one of the greatest prophets of Israel. Someone who led the people, someone who spoke the word of God to the people of Israel, someone who was even listened to by kings. Jesus, on the other hand, was not obeyed by most of the people. He was not listened to by the political powers. And in fact, the political powers would sentence him to death. And the other things that, again, he was called, some called him prophets. People who would call the people of Israel back to repentance. People who would deliver the word of God to the Israelites. And this Jesus also did. But many would not hear him. Many people today say that Jesus was just a great prophet. He had all kinds of wonderful teachings, but that was it. And then we come to the question. We come to the most important question. Then he said to them, to all of them, plural, but who do you use? In UP vernacular, say that I am. And it's important, actually, that we make that distinction, and you'll understand it later on as we go through this text. But this is one of the most important questions that Jesus asks, not only of his disciples, but to all people. It is the one question that everyone has to deal with in some way. Is Jesus a great preacher? Does he only call us to change our behavior? To make us good people in this world? Or is he something else? We can find a great many people that will tell us that Jesus was only a great moralist. And in fact, they show up in church quite often. Behavior becomes everything. How you act. What you do. We can find this in the Mormon church. We can find this all over the place in this world. Where all of a sudden, it is behavior that Jesus taught. But it fails to deal with the question. Who do you say that I am? Many people will say that Jesus was a great prophet, including many other religions. Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet. We are people of the book. But again, they miss the point of what Jesus taught and said. You will also hear that Jesus was a great man from Buddhists and Hindus. So all these people that we've talked about have some degree of respect for Jesus Christ. But they missed the conclusion. They missed the conclusion of what Peter says that the disciples believe. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now when Jesus asked this question, and I said this was important, but who do you plural, say that I am? Peter is answering for the group, for the disciples. And he is answering that Jesus is something much greater than a teacher or a moralist or a prophet. Jesus is the Messiah, the one sent to redeem the Jews, the one sent to redeem us. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And this is really the thing that we have to come to deal with. We have to deal with it each and every time we hear the gospel proclaimed. Either Jesus is just a man who had some wonderful things happen around him during the course of his life, or he's the Son of God. And this is the question. Who is he? I'm reading a book right now entitled Theology is for Proclamation. I've read it before. And I think as a pastor, it's one of the most important books that I could read. Because it talks about the preaching of the word. The preaching of the person of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that it deals with is just this question. Preaching always deals with this question. Who do you say that I am? We as proclaimers of the word, and now I'm talking the big we, all believers are proclaimers of that word in one sense or another. We make statements about Jesus Christ all the time. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the truth. Jesus washed away the sin of the world. All these types of statements, we tell people, your sins are forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. The problem is, then comes the question. How is this proclamation dealt with? Do they believe it? Or was Jesus just a man? You see, in all those statements that I just listed off, Jesus had to be something much greater than a man. And that's the question that each and every one of us has to come down to and deal with individually. We know that all those claims are true. The Word tells us that they're true. Jesus died for the sin of the world. We just read that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, people reject them. We heard in our scripture reading that God has given us all a measure of faith. But if we reject who Jesus Christ is and reject that message and that faith that is given to us, it really does mean nothing. Then Jesus was just a historical guy in history, and it means nothing. But we will see that God doesn't let everyone live in their ignorance. In fact, He calls us to believe. And He calls us and gives us the strength and the wisdom to believe. Because this is what verse 17 says. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you." And that's again the plural, or it is not plural. "Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." And that one is plural. So this again, now he's talking to all of them. "But my Father who is in heaven So who revealed it? My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. Now Jesus calls Simon, or Peter, as he will be called later, blessed. But he is blessing all of them. And they are blessed because God has revealed this knowledge to them of who Jesus Christ is. He has revealed to them that Jesus is the Son of the living God. It was not revealed to them by flesh and blood. And it is absolutely the same today. If we come across someone who thinks that Jesus is just a teacher or a moralist or a prophet, can we by human reason or understanding argue our point and prove that he is the Son of God? You can't do it. Because this is not understood by human reason or logic. It makes no sense by human reason or logic. Why would the Creator of this universe send His Son down here to sinful men who had rejected His Word and allow Him to die on the cross to forgive our sins? Why didn't He just wipe us off the map and start over again? This is God's love for us. And it doesn't make sense. I can't sit and argue this with someone who doesn't believe it. The only thing I can do as a proclaimer of the Word is continue to tell them what God has done and let God work by the power of that Word and through the Holy Spirit. Because that Holy Spirit is active and living and works when that Word is proclaimed. And God desires that no man would die, but that all would come to the knowledge of His Son. That all would come to faith. And it is this faith that Jesus promises to build His church on. Not on Peter. Peter announced that faith to Jesus, but it is the announcement of that faith that builds the church. And so it is God's working. It is God's action. It is God's gift to us. And the other thing that Jesus tells us here absolutely amazes me that we don't hear it more often, and that we don't live in the victory as believers. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Nothing will prevail against God's church. I've said this before, and I absolutely mean it. I'm sick of us living in this morbid sense that the church isn't victorious. We live with this idea that we can get squashed out or that our faith can get squashed out as soon as Satan decides it. That's a lie. It can't be. This is God's church. This is Jesus Christ's church. That victory has been won and has been taken care of. This to me is one of the greatest promises to us as believers. We live in a victory. Nothing will stand against us. This is who we are as the body of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will not stand against us. or Hades, the abode of the dead, death will not even take us away from his body. Why we live in this sense that somehow I'm going to fall away is ridiculous to me. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? That means he starts it and he ends it. I get to go along for the ride. He is the one at work within each and every one of us. He is the one that preserves us, and he is the one that will make sure that we make it to the end. And he will do that with his church. The other thing that bugs me is that we come to this conclusion that we have to somehow protect the church. When did that become our job? Jesus says that he will take care of the church in this. And it will not be overcome. If we think it's our job to preserve the church, then we don't believe what Jesus has told us. Because if we have faith, we trust in the promises of God. And then he has called us to do something, to be proclaimers of his word, to be proclaimers of his gospel. And to fling the gates of heaven wide open. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he warned his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. I give you, all of you, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking about it in light of the cross. Whose sin did Jesus shed his blood for? All mankind. That blood was effective for everyone, as long as they come to the point that they understand it was for them. Our job, from what I can see in this, is to go out and to tell people about the promises of God and let them know that they too are forgiven in that name and shed blood. At the end of our text, Jesus tells his disciples that they were not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. We do not have that restriction. And in fact, we have a much different command from the end of this, or from the end of this book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is revealed to us through his word and by the working of the Holy Spirit. We are all given a measure of faith. And those of us who don't reject it are called to continue to proclaim this promise, this forgiveness, this love of God, to all people, that they too would come to know who Jesus is. And we can do this in the victory, knowing that nothing will stand against us. It can't. And also knowing that Jesus Christ is with us, even to the end of the world. Live in this victory. Cling to this promise and proclaim it from the rooftops. Because this is who Jesus says that he is. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for this day. Thanks for the victory that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks for the forgiveness of sins that has been given to us through the washing of his blood. And Father, we ask that you would help us by the power of your word and the working of your Holy Spirit to live in this victory, to understand that you have forgiven us, and Father, to be able to love. To love as you have loved the world. To proclaim this message. To throw the gates of heaven wide open. That people would come to know of your love for them and your forgiveness. And that indeed, Father, Jesus is the Son of the living God. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.